You open up your Bibles. I want to invite you to go to the book of Daniel in the Old Testament, Daniel chapter 3. And as you open that up, I'm going to speak today and share with you from a very familiar story from almost the earliest of days. A young boy or young girl that grows up in the church, they hear about Daniel in the lion's den and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. And so we're going to look at one of those stories today. If you remember, if you've been around Cottonwood the last couple of weeks, you know, I'm in the middle of a series entitled Second String Saints. We have been looking at some of the lesser known Bible characters in Scripture and seeing what they have to say to us. We've looked at John the Baptist, and we've looked at Elisha and not Elijah, and we've looked at those second stringers, the Jonathans, not David. And we have found and we have seen that they've got some major league messages for us. And today we're going to look at another one. And we're going to look at these three guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who they're the main players. They're the A-team in Daniel chapter 3. Well, why are they the A-team in Daniel chapter 3, the fiery furnace? Well, basically because Daniel's nowhere to be found. We have no idea in Daniel chapter 3 where Daniel is. It's his book, but he's not in there. My guess is he was faithfully serving the king somewhere else in a distant season. And so Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these B-team players, these second-string saints, had to carry the water. He had to carry the weight for themselves, and that's what we're going to see. And so I want to bring you a message today entitled, Standing Tall in the Fiery Furnaces of Your Life. Standing tall in the fiery furnaces of your life. Now, you say, why would you say, Pastor, that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are second stringers? They're the B team to Daniel. Well, Daniel gets all the publicity, right? He's the one that wrote the book. He's the one, the book's titled after him. As a matter of fact, we know even in the book, right, that Nebuchadnezzar, when he besieged Jerusalem and he finally overthrew all of Jerusalem and Israel basically said, uncle, that Nebuchadnezzar took the best and the brightest of all the sons and all the daughters of the children of Israel, those that were handsome, and you read it in Daniel chapter 1, those that were handsome and of noble heritage, and they seemed to have high intellectual value. And I mean, all of it. He brought a bunch of them with him, Nebuchadnezzar, back to his home country. Then he put them in a training program, all of them, all the ones he had brought back, put them in a training program where he taught them a new way to eat and a new way to live and a new way to think and taught them astronomy and arithmetic and astrology and science and everything. Really trained these guys up. But still, Daniel gets top billing. It's his book, right? We talk about Daniel's prayer. We talk about Daniel and the lion's den. As a matter of fact, Daniel's even got a diet plan named after him. How many of you know that? How many of you have done the Daniel plan? You don't see a Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego plan. It's just not in there. You don't say, hey, turn to the book of Abednego. You don't do that. So they're kind of second stringers, but they're A-teamers in Daniel chapter 3 because Daniel is nowhere to be found. Here's the reality in our lives. We all know, and we probably all know people who we look at and we think they have an A-team faith. Man, as long as they are around me, as long as they are leading me, as long as they are with me, I am strong in my faith. But we need to always be reminded there are going to come those seasons when the A-teamers are not there. And it's going to be me in my furnace and my fiery trial. Our young people that are sitting here, they oftentimes, man, you bring them to camp and you see what God does. And our children are off at children's camp and they stand bold in their faith. And as long as they're surrounded by other Daniels and other Shadrach, Meshachs, and Abednegos in their life, great. But what do we all know what happens? We know what happened in my life, right? I would go to youth camp. I'd really be sold out to Christ, and I'd be faithful. And then all of a sudden, the next year, the school bell would ring, and it was me walking the halls alone and rolling back into the same football locker room and looking around and thinking, all right, am I going to stand tall? And am I going to stand firm? I'm going to back away. So today I want to talk to us all, whether you're young or whether you're old, whether you're single or whether you're married, whether you're healthy, whether you're unhealthy, whether you're financially well off or not. I want to talk to everybody in this room right now about how to stand tall in the fiery furnaces of your life. And everyone in here has one. You know, there are always those difficulties and those trials and those fiery furnaces that come our way. Sometimes, let's be honest, sometimes we create them of ourselves. We make decisions, right? If I can create a fiery trial of my own finances today, my guess is, how many of you know, I could probably leave here today and I could probably go find some dealership that was open. I could buy a car that was too expensive. That'd be my call. Then I could probably go down to the mall and I could buy expensive stuff. And my guess is there are some furniture stores I could go buy a bunch of stuff. I could go do a lot of things and create my own financial fire, right? How many of you know that? There are times that we could do that. I could leave here today, even though I'm your pastor, I could make some decisions between now and 2 p.m. that could harm this church greatly. And it would be trials I created for myself. And there are times that the best thing we can do to ourselves and for ourselves when we find ourselves in a fiery trial is to ask ourselves, did I create this? Did I make some decisions that caused this trial? Why do I want to honestly analyze that? Because I want to know and I want to learn and make sure I don't make those same decisions again. So there are some decisions and some trials that come my way that I make. There are a lot of trials that come my way that I didn't have anything to do with. They just show up. All of a sudden, you seemed healthy. You walked into the doctor. The doctor says, you know, there's something I don't like. I want to look at this. Anybody ever been in that appointment? You didn't have anything to do with it. It just showed up. And all of a sudden, you were in a fiery trial. And you had nothing to do with it. Yesterday, within a few short minutes, I was over in Fort Worth. Within a few short minutes, coaching one of JJ's baseball games, I got a phone call that a member of our church, their house was struck by lightning and burned into the ground yesterday, right here in Fairview. Within a few more minutes, I heard that a member of our church had fallen and broken their leg in three different places. And had just come out of surgery, they put 10 pins in their leg. Within a few minutes, someone else called and said they had one of our members had a tree knocked down in their front yard. Guess what? Boom, boom, boom. I've already confirmed this because we went over there last night to the person's house that had burned down. We confirmed that they were not praying for a fiery furnace in their house. I've confirmed that. Apparently, that just happened without them inviting it. There are some of you here today that you are walking through a fiery furnace, a fiery trial in your life. And sometimes we know it's going to be short. Sometimes we know it's a lifetime. But how you handle the fiery trial makes all of the difference. Now, let me tell you about these guys. And remember these guys and these noble men who were taken back and placed in a hostile land, a land that is not for the faith in God. Could be very, very similar to the place you find yourself, your work environment, wherever you are. And what we're going to see is that King Nebuchadnezzar, he builds an altar and an image to himself. And he says, listen, at the sound of the music, everybody's going to fall down and everybody's going to worship. And if you don't worship, you're going into the trial. So sometimes we create trials on our own. Sometimes they just happen. They show up. Our house gets struck by lightning. Sometimes, listen, others force us into the furnace because of decisions that they make. And let me tell you what, I sense that more and more that's where we're going as a country. Because you don't have to look around. You don't have to pay attention long to realize there are a couple of mantras that are coming out. You better worship at the altar of political correctness. You better worship at the altar of a redefined marriage. You better worship at the altar of being able to pray without using Jesus' name. You better worship. You better get used to this. What are they saying? There is the new image. By the way, there's a new golden calf. There's a new image that you better bow down to, and it's related to gender issues. How many of you have noticed that? Let me ask you a question. How are you going to do when it's your furnace and your fire? Some furnaces we create for ourselves. Some furnaces, they just show up. We didn't ask for them. Some furnaces, we are placed there. We've got to make a choice. The beauty of the story of Daniel chapter 3 is that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and by the way, those are not their original names. They were renamed. Nebuchadnezzar says, man, let us retrain them. Let us reteach them. Let us give them a different diet. Let us give them different food. And then let us give them a different name, and they won't act like Christians, followers of Christ. But these young men stood for their faith. You heard Bo talk a few minutes ago about a lunch we're about to have with our ministry academy. And let me encourage you, reach into your Creek guide and pull out the insert about our Leadership Development Center. It looks like this. We're going to put it up on the screen for you. A couple of years ago, we developed a leadership academy. A leadership center, an LDC, and many of you gave to support that, and we have a lot of interns that are on campus right now that are studying, that are following. They're being taught. They're doing ministry together. And I want you to know, here is our intern program as we've been developing. We started kind of with a resident program, and then we had an apprenticeship program, and now we're ready to roll out our internship program. And let me tell you about the differences of these. All three of these, all right, all three of these internship programs are for those who are about 18 to 25, just out of high school, till you're about 25 years old. The resident program, and we have many that are already on our staff, they're serving as interns, they know that they have been called to vocational ministry to serve in a church somewhere. But I want you to know, here's this, I want you to hear. Everybody is called to ministry. Everybody's called to ministry. It's not, I am not the only one that was called to the ministry, that I'm the pastor. If you are a Christian plumber or Christian florist, or if you are a Christian IT guy or gal, if you are a Christian this or a home builder, what a car salesman, you are called to the ministry. I want you to know we are all called to the ministry. So, our apprenticeship program is paid internships for those who are serving in children's ministry or youth ministry or whatever, but they may not necessarily be heading towards full-time vocational service in a church. There are a lot of people, we have some right now, they're going to be school teachers, but they're serving for the summer as an intern at the church. They're going to be school teachers, they're going to be accountants, they're going to be this, they're going to be that. That's our apprenticeship program, but they're learning the ministry. Here's the new program that we're starting. And it's for any young man or young woman that is 18 to 25 years old. And if you have an 18 to 25-year-old, I want you to encourage you, let your ears perk up. You can doze off after this for the rest of my sermon, but I want you to hear this. If you have an 18 to 25-year-old, or you know someone that has an 18 to 25-year-old, or you are an 18 to 25-year-old, we have just developed a brand new internship program that will start this fall. You don't have to be called to the ministry. You don't have to feel like I'm heading somewhere towards being a pastor or a preacher. All you have to do to get involved in this ministry is breathe. Okay? I'm dead serious. If you are 18 to 25 and you can breathe, you've got an on-ramp. If you want to come and be an internship, we developed it. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to bring you in. We're going to help you develop leadership skills, public speaking skills. We're going to train you and teach you theology because we're going to allow you to go through our ministry academy as one of these 18 to 25-year-old interns you're going to get to go through for free. You're going to be mentored by our staff. Remember, whether you are going to the ministry or not, you are going to be mentored. You're going to get some one-on-one discipling. You're going to get some leadership skills. You're going to get some financial development skills. We're going to bring some great people. And let me tell you what, it's not going to be just a bore. We're going to have a blast. We're going to do a lot of fun things. So if you are interested, if you are 18 to 25-year-old, you have an 18 to 25-year-old, we're going to have a couple of days a week where they're going to serve here at the church. They're going to meet with staff. They're going to get mentored. They're going to get discipled. They're going to do some good things. They're going to be a part of our new Saturday night worship service. So Sunday morning, they're going to serve with us. Now, here's the best thing. At the end of the day, part of what we're going to do with this new internship, with those that are 18 to 25 years old, is we're going to let you put it on your resume. As I completed an internship at Cotton, you're going to be able to put our name and you're going to have an employer. You can put it on your resume and say, I completed the internship. And they're going to call us and we're going to give you a recommendation. And so hopefully that what will happen out of this is for those young people that are heading to the ministry or not heading to the ministry, you know what? You want to know what I hope we're raising? Is a bunch of Daniels. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's. Or Shadrach Etz, Shadrach, Meshach, Etz, and Abednego's. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Daniel Etz. So if you know someone, if you have someone, they're going to have a blast. Now, you notice, they don't have to be strong Christians. But we're going to put them through the ministry academy. We're going to teach them the reasons to believe God exists, how they can defend their faith, how they can grow in their faith. So I want to encourage you to be a part of it. So now let's go back to the fiery furnace. Daniel chapter 3, King Nebuchadnezzar sets up an altar and an image to himself. And look at what we see in Daniel chapter 3. And let me just pick up read and we'll put it up on the screen. It says, King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold. And he said, listen, when I make this image of gold, as soon as you hear the sound of all kinds of music, you will all fall down and worship the image of me, that I am the God, I'm the supreme ruler here. Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace. Let me tell you what, already we've seen Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, they had been through some trials in their lives. Their trials were not of their own doing. They grew up in a place, they were blessed, we know they were blessed, they grew up in a nobleman's house, they had political resources, they had intellectual resources, they were handsome. We know this, they didn't do anything to gain those, they were just born into the right family. At the same time, then Nebuchadnezzar overthrew them, exported them to a different country. They had nothing to do that, all they could do is follow along. But now they've gotten to a place where they can stand on their own two feet. And Nebuchadnezzar says, I'm going to build this altar, this image of gold to myself. Every time you hear the music, you're going to bow down in lockstep. Now here's what we know. More than just Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had come from Jerusalem to the house and the palace of Nebuchadnezzar. They were some of the best and the brightest, but we know there were more. But here's what we do know. Daniel and these three constantly stood out because they were unwilling to bend the knee. And so here's what happened. It says, as soon as you hear the music, you are all to bow down. And if you don't listen to this, you will be immediately thrown into the blazing furnace. Now, you always had those antagonists, and if you look at them there, the astrologers and the followers that are kind of jealous. They're jealous that Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego were outperforming them. They were getting their promotion. And so these folks were jealous. And so they were happy to tell the king, hey, king, when you blew the trumpet, everybody bowed down except for those three. There is always someone, if you're willing to stand for your faith, who is willing to out you for your faith. And that's exactly why, because they're jealous. They're jealous. There are even times that if we stand for righteousness and godliness and goodness, there will be other Christians that will throw us under the bus. I wish it wasn't that way, but it happens. You've been there. I've been there. Heck, I've thrown other Christians under the bus when I disagreed with them from time to time. And so he says, listen, they said, hey, King, by the way, just want you to know, notice how they say it, there are some Jews. Anybody ever heard anybody say, you know, there are some Christians out there. There are some Christians out there. There are some Christians out there. He says, hey, there are some Jews. Who's he talking about? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You ever had anybody do that to you? Hey, you know, I've heard some people. There they are right there. Those three, by the way. He says, I've heard that some people, some of those Jews, whom you have set, notice they're pointing at the king. Hey, you've given them all these privileges. Yeah, they enjoyed being taken into slavery and captivity. They enjoyed being given a new land. They enjoyed being given new names. They enjoyed being given a different education. They enjoy not being around their moms and dads. They love that. You put them in these positions, by the way, and they don't serve you. They don't love you. They don't honor you. It says, when you set them over the affairs of the province, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they pay no attention to you, your majesty. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold that you have set up before them. Let me ask you a question. Wouldn't it have been easier for them just to go along? I mean, think of all this, man. The story, no one would have known. Clearly, everybody else bowed down because it's these three who are called out to the king. So others obviously bow down. You say, why wouldn't they just go along? Well, let me give you a couple of thoughts. Number one, they remember the law of God. Remember the first commandment? You'll have no other gods before me. Remember commandment number two? You will make for yourselves no graven image and bow down and worship that. You want to know the third thing they probably remember? Remember? We're in this predicament to begin with because our moms and our dads and our grandparents and our grandmothers and our great-grandparents failed to follow God on Commandments 1 and Commandment 2. Because if you look at the history, the only reason why Nebuchadnezzar was successful in overthrowing the children of Israel is because time and time and time and time again, the children of Israel would serve and worship and bow down to images they had made of false gods. And so clearly Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, we are not going to bow down. Sure, they could have bowed down, but they chose not to. Because they said, listen, let's be honest, we're in this position for the very fact that our parents clearly bowed down. Let me give you a couple of thoughts. How to stand in the fiery furnace of your life. Number one, don't be surprised when standing up for God makes some people furious. Don't be surprised when standing up for God makes some people furious. What do we see? We see it right there. Daniel chapter 3, verse 13. It says, Nebuchadnezzar, furious with rage. I love those ideas. Not only was he was furious with rage. Don't those kind of go together? Those are synonyms. Clearly, in the original language, Daniel was trying to say he was hacked off. All right? He was mad. He was angered. He had been shown up. He says, listen, you better bow down and worship my image. Man, in any one of these kind of situations, in every one of these kind of situations, he says, furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar said to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? Man, there are always, anytime there's a situation like this, there are always those who are the most arrogant. They're the stuck-ups of the world, right? They're the most, man, Nebuchadnezzar and all of those that followed him thought they knew everything. You look at our common culture of today. Boy, you see scientists who they don't have any of the answers, but they can tell you the one answer we know is not true: God didn't create everything. And we're like, show us the evidence. They got zilch. But you better all bow down at that altar. Intellectually, politically, all kinds of speech that is out there, you always have those. You better bow down and worship what we say. Regardless of the issue, the ethical issue, the gender issue, the definition of marriage issue, whatever it is, the science issue, everyone bow down. There are always those who think they know it all. And guess what? There will always be a bunch of them that are following them. Boy, if the first ones are the stuck-ups, the second group, they're the kiss-ups. Right? Oh, yeah, 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 you're right, you're right, you're right. But Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, those three in this story, Daniel through the rest of the book, they're the ones that are willing to stand up. And that's the question here for you today is, which one are you? Which one are you? Are you one that's willing to stand up and say, I don't care how hot the fire gets. I don't care how mad others get at me. I don't care what this cost me. But I'm not going to cave in. Here's thought number two on the fiery furnace. Don't be too shocked if you're given an ultimatum. Don't be too shocked if you are given an ultimatum. Don't be shocked when you stand up for your faith that some people get angry. Secondly, don't be too shocked when some people give you an ultimatum. Basically, what do we see? Notice Daniel chapter 3, verse 15. He says, if you're ready to fall down and worship the image that I made for you, very good. But if you do not worship, you will be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace. That's kind of the ultimatum. All right, if you're going to be that way, here's what's going to happen. Man, if you look at it all, can you imagine? Can you imagine the pressure these guys must have felt? Nebuchadnezzar's looking down on them. They're lucky to be alive at this point anyway. And all of a sudden, Nebuchadnezzar looks at them and says, hey, guys, listen, you got two options here. It's either bow down or burn. There's no good in between. There's no negotiation. It's an ultimatum. It's bow down or burn. It's your call. You choose your path. Man, praise God, we still live in a place, in a country, where at least you would get an attorney's letter first, right? You better change your business practices. You better make the cake. You better put the flowers together. You better take the picture. At least you would think you would get a letter first. But these guys, listen, hey boys, it's bow down or burn. Those are your only two options. Pretty simple. Here's number three, how to survive. Listen, don't let the outcome of the furnace determine your faith. Write that down. Don't let the outcome of the furnace determine your faith. Remember, I told you there are times that I make decisions that put myself in a furnace in life, and I cry out and ask God to get me out. There are other times, just like many in our church yesterday, tree falls down, lightning strike in the house, break their leg. I mean, just over and over again, boom, boom, boom. Member of our church just yesterday goes in, has a heart difficulty. Procedure tomorrow. Boom. Fiery furnace. Don't let the outcome of the furnace determine your faith. You say, where do you see this? Notice what these guys say. Look at it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, King, if we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God that we serve is able to deliver us from it. He's able to. But even if he does not, we will not serve your God or worship the image of gold you have set up. What are they saying? They are saying, first and foremost, our God is able to rescue us from your hand. And let me tell you, here's what you need to do. If you are in the furnace, you need to have all the faith in the world. Why? Because we serve a God. Everybody say, we serve a God. We serve a God that is able to deliver us from the furnace. Let me tell you what, if I am in the furnace, I am going to serve and pray and beg for God to demonstrate His power and rescue me from the furnace. There is nothing wrong with that. I want you to hear me. If you are in a furnace right now, and your furnace is called financial bankruptcy, or it's a relational breakdown, or it's cancer, or whatever it is, I want you to know you're in the furnace. Pray to God, believing, trusting, begging Him to deliver you from the furnace. How many of you know what I'm saying? I want you to know, your pastor is just spiritual enough that if I ever get told I will have cancer, my immediate prayer is, God, let me not have cancer. How many of you understand that? There is nothing spiritual about saying, God, leave me in the furnace. I love these guys. They look at him and says, hey, by the way, we know that you're the king here, but we know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We know the God who spoke the world into existence, created all, set the stars in the place, set the earth on its axis, put the moon and the stars and the fish. We know that God. And let me tell you what, if he's powerful enough to do that, he can snuff your fire out like nothing. But remember, the point is this. Don't let the outcome of the furnace determine your faith, because what else did they say? But even if he does not, see, that's the hard phrase, to live in the furnace. But even if he does not, that's hard life, that's real life. See, I want you to know that, but even if he does not, those are the hard things. Those are the difficult things. We will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up. In other words, when I go through the furnace, I pray for God to deliver me. I pray for God to keep the flames at bay. I pray for God to let me stand firm and stand tall. I pray for God to heal me, to bless me. But even if He does, I will not bow down to anyone else but the one true God. So let me give you four quick reminders as we close from the furnace of life. Number one, don't ever forget when you're in the furnace that God is with you in the furnace. Most of the time, I don't want to say most of the time, a lot of the time I hear this. When people come to me and they say, I just don't feel like God is with me. It's not uncommon that part of the reason they feel that God is not with them is because they're in the furnace. We have this mindset, we have this difficulty, we have this understanding that as long as God is with me, it means that I'm blessed and I'm not experiencing any difficulty. Remember what James, the brother of Jesus, said in James chapter 1, verse 2? He says, consider it pure joy, brethren, when you experience various trials, because we know the testing of your faith purifies us and gives us wisdom and gives us endurance. Here's a reality. When I'm in the furnace, God is with me. Notice what it says, Daniel chapter 3, verse 24. It says, then the king Nebuchadnezzar leapt to his feet with amazement. He said, and asked his advisors, weren't there three men that we tied up and threw into the fire? They replied, yep, you got it. But he looks in there and he sees someone else. He sees someone else that looks like a son of the gods. It's really the son of God, Jesus Christ, who is with us. Here's a beauty. I love what the writer of the book of Hebrews, same idea of this in chapter 13, verse 5. He says this. He says, and God has said this, replied, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. If you go look in the original language in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, the original language compounds and emphasizes those words never. So the best translation right here would be, he will never, no, never, never, no, never, never, no, never, never, never leave you. Whether I'm in the furnace or outside the furnace, whether the wind's at my back or it's in my face, whether in life I'm going uphill or I'm coming downhill, whether I'm healthy or whether I'm sick, whether I'm employed or whether I'm unemployed, he will never leave you, nor will he forsake you. Number one, always remember, God is with you in the furnace. Here's number two. Oftentimes it's the furnace that burns away those things that bind us. It's oftentimes the furnace that burns away those things that bind us up. What do we see? Daniel chapter 3, verse 25. He says, weren't there three men that we threw in there? He says, look, I see four men walking around. Idea number one, Christ is always with you even in the furnace. There's a fourth one in your furnace. He says, not only that, I'll see them walking around the fire. They are unbound and unharmed. In other words, the chains, the ropes that bound us up burn away. Why is that? Because oftentimes when God lets us go through the furnace, lets us go through the fire, that's the time that we focus on our faith, right? How many times, let's be honest, how many times do you really deepen and practice your prayer life when things are great? I'm going to say that again. How many times do you deepen your prayer walk and your faith in God when things are great? If you do that, if you grow your faith and grow your prayer life when things are great in your life, congratulations, you are way more spiritual than your pastor. And some of y'all have been thinking, we've known that for a number of years now. Because let me tell you what, when God is blessing the church and things are good, and man, we're just seeing God's blessing all the time, most of my prayers, just kind of high-five God, hey, God, being you, nut, give me some knuckles right there. And I do, I walk around, I'll fist bump God all the time, kind of think in the back of my mind, we're a pretty good team. Me, God, God, me, kind of rolling. You let something happen in my life or to my family or whatever, and guess what? I'm on my knees. I'm looking up every word in prayer in Scripture, and I want to pray that prayer, and I want the prayer of Jabez, and I want the prayer of Daniel, and I want Jesus' prayer, and I want, so, hey, I don't care if I can't even pronounce your name in the Old Testament. If they prayed, I'm praying that prayer. It's the furnace oftentimes that burns away those things that bind us, that keep us from focusing on our faith. So if you're in the furnace, let some burning take place so you can focus on the most important thing, your walk with God. Here's number three. You ready? Oftentimes it's the furnace that draws unbelievers to God. See, it's easy for us for people to look at us and say, well, sure. Sure, you serve God. He blesses you. You got the raise. You did this. You did that. Everything's all good. But remember what Satan said to God about Job? He says, hey, God, let me take a little bit of away. Let's see what kind of a guy Job is. Notice what happened in Daniel chapter 3, verse 28. It says, then Nebuchadnezzar said, praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servant. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up basically everything, their lives. Rather than to serve and worship me, they served God. I'll submit to you, there are people around each and every one of us here that they will never follow Christ if we keep bowing down to their God. I'm going to say that again. There are people in your life and my life who will never ultimately follow faith and follow Christ if I keep bowing down to their God. I've got to be willing to stand up for my God, the one true God, even if it means I go through the furnace of criticism or mockery if you're a young person or laughing, even at the office. Here's number four. You ready? Four things to remember in the furnace. The furnace of life always leads to the blessings of God. The blessings of God are always on the other side of the furnace. I love this. Daniel chapter 3, verse 30. It says, then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. They had to go into the furnace. They had to enjoy the presence of God in the furnace. They had to have those things that were binding them, holding them together to be burned off. They had to come back out. They had to give a witness to the true God. And then God promoted them. And God will do the same thing for you. I'm going to invite you just to bow your heads there where you are. I'm going to ask Keith to come out. As we close today, we're going to sing a song. It's an old song, Just As I Am. Our altar team's going to be down front, and my guess is there are some folks that are here that you are going through the furnace of your life. Maybe it's your health. Maybe it's someone you love. It's their health. It's a son or a daughter, a relationship. It's a marriage. It's finances. It's vocational. It's this. It's that. Maybe something happened to you yesterday, and I didn't hear about it. And you heard me reference the heart issue and the tree in the front yard and the burned down house and the broken leg. Maybe there was something else that something happened in your life and I just didn't hear about it yesterday. But you would like to pray for someone during this song, you come. Maybe there's some young people. I see many of you sitting back there that made some serious decisions at camp. You just want to be reminded that your furnace is coming. It's called whatever the next grade is. It's about to start in August. You want to pray again together just here at the altar that you just, God, let us stand firm. Let us stand strong. Let us be Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego together. Maybe there's some folks that are here that you're 18 to 25 and you're like I was for most of that season of my life. You're a believer, but your faith wasn't strong. Man, I was moved from left to right. For every wind of doctrine, every emotion, every relationship I had or didn't have, man, it moved me here, it moved me there, but I want to be faithful. And our prayer team's going to be here, our altar's going to be here. So I'm going to pray with you, whatever it is, the furnace of your life, if you need God to help you get out, come pray for that, there's nothing wrong. If you need God to grow your faith while you're in the furnace, come pray with that. If you just want to know God's presence in your furnace, you come, you pray. If you want to know salvation, you tell one of our altar team that. You come. Father, thank you so much for this day. What a joy it is to be your church. God, thank you for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the example that they were. God, I'm praying as I introduce today for every 18 to 25-year-old man or woman in our church, in our community to come so they can know your favor and your grace in their life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.